First off, speaking in tandem are Todd Nedwick of the National Housing Trust and Crystal Bergman of U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Todd is the Housing and Energy Efficiency Program Director at the National Housing Trust, where he leads their engagement with public and private stakeholders to advance the use of housing and energy resources for affordable housing, including working with private utilities. He's worked closely with national and state partners to develop and advocate best practices for using the Weatherization Assistance Program to improve energy efficiency in multifamily housing. Crystal is a senior energy policy analyst in HUD's Office of Economic Resilience, where she works to embed sustainable and green building policies and practices into HUD's portfolio. She is also the department's lead on Renew 300 campaign, which is the president's climate action goal, action plan goal of increasing on-site renewable energy capacity in federally assisted housing to ninefold by 2020. Todd and Crystal, we look forward to your presentation.
Great. Thank you so much, Victoria. I just want to confirm that my slide is being viewed. Is it showing?
Yes, we can see it.
Awesome. Great. Thanks so much. So yes, thank you, Victoria. Thanks so much for hosting this webinar, and also thanks to the EPA for the series of webinars on addressing energy efficiency in low-income communities. As Victoria indicated, I'm going to start off today by providing some context for this discussion. To that end, I will address three key points. First, I will address why it's important to target the multifamily affordable housing stock with energy efficiency improvements. And second, I will briefly highlight some of the key market and energy characteristics of this housing stock that should be taken into consideration when developing successful energy efficiency strategies. And then finally, third, I will briefly touch on some of the high-level features of a well-designed multifamily energy efficiency implementation strategy. Mine will be a high-level overview because the presenters following me will be providing much more detailed discussion of successful strategies based on their own experiences as program implementers. First, let me just give some background about the National Housing Trust. National Housing Trust is a nonprofit dedicated to protecting and improving existing affordable rental housing. Throughout the country, there are millions of affordable rental homes that are at risk of being lost from the affordable housing stock, either through deterioration or conversion to more expensive housing, and NHT safeguards these homes through policy engagement, through developing, owning, and operating affordable rental homes, and through providing capital to help other owners and operators of affordable housing secure their housing. Throughout all three of these activities, we focus on energy efficiency and housing, recognizing that the long-term sustainability of affordable housing depends on reducing the economic and environmental impact of our housing stock. I'm also here representing Energy Efficiency for All, or EFA. EFA is a partnership of more than three dozen national, regional, and state organizations that are working together to make multifamily homes healthy and affordable through energy efficiency. In addition to the National Housing Trust, EFA is led by the Natural Resources Defense Council, the Energy Foundation, and Elevate Energy, and is made possible by support from the JPB Foundation. And the organizing principle behind EFA is that to effectively address the energy efficiency needs of the affordable multifamily housing stock, there must be collaboration among experts in affordable housing, energy efficiency, community development, finance, and utility engagement. And so EFA is working in 12 states to foster these collaborations and to develop tools and resources that will increase energy efficiency investments in their state's affordable multifamily housing stock. So why is it important to target multifamily affordable housing for energy efficiency investments? Well, first of all, if we're going to achieve energy affordability and healthier housing for low-income households, you know, we really have to include the multifamily housing stock, and that's simply because it is home to a significant portion of these families. Although multifamily homes make up about 20% of our nation's housing, it is home to half of our country's poorest families. So I think that's a very important fact, especially in light of the Clean Power Plan implementation, making sure that the Clean Power Plan helps all households, including low-income households. And so to do that, multifamily housing has to be part of the discussion. The second main reason is that energy efficiency investments help to sustain the affordable housing stock. Utility costs are the highest operating expense that housing providers have some type of control over. And over the long term, reducing operating expenses helps makes it possible to maintain lower rents and reinvest in critical building improvements. Third, multifamily housing is really an untapped source of energy savings in many states and can help utilities and energy efficiency program administrators to meet their efficiency goals if programs are appropriately targeted to this housing stock. Fourth, multifamily housing can help state and local governments reduce carbon emissions. Multifamily buildings can provide large-scale emission reduction opportunities because you're targeting a building with many, many housing units. And fifth, generally speaking, we know that efficiency investments help the economy by creating local jobs. But just to add to that, I think in addition, when you're lowering energy bills for low-income households, that usually means more consumer spending in a local economy as compared to higher income households. So I mentioned that multifamily housing is an untapped source of energy savings, and that's the case for a number of reasons. First, two-thirds of multifamily buildings nationally were built before 1980. Older buildings are likely to be less energy efficient because they have uninsulated walls, single-pane windows, and just fewer efficiency features. And in fact, multifamily rental housing has been documented to have have fewer energy efficiency features compared with other housing types, such as single-family rental or owner-occupied. And even within the multifamily rental stock, research has shown that low-income multifamily rental housing has been shown to have fewer energy efficiency measures than multifamily rental housing occupied by higher-income households. The lack of energy efficiency features translates into higher energy expenditures on a square foot basis. In rental multifamily units, energy expenditures run 30% higher per square foot than in owner-occupied multifamily units and 76% higher than in owner-occupied single-family detached units. And finally, several recent studies have borne out the fact that there are significant cost-effective energy efficiency gains to be had in the multifamily housing stock, and I will reference one of those studies in just a few minutes. So I wanted to briefly lay out some of the unique market characteristics of the multifamily housing stock as compared to other types of buildings. These are important factors to consider when developing energy efficiency strategies for this building sector. In the interest of time, I won't go into too much detail here, but just wanted to highlight some of these important considerations. First, in the multifamily housing stock, you have considerable variety in building structures, you know, based on number of stories or number of units. And that can certainly have an impact on the type of measures that are most effective. For example, taking into consideration the amount of surface area exposed to outside in a high-rise building versus a garden-style apartment complex. Second, you also have variation in types of building owners. You have public housing owners. You have private owners of subsidized housing, private owners of market rate housing. So thinking about the different motivations of these owners as you develop programs is important. Third, it is important to think about who the appropriate decision makers are to target. You know, for a comprehensive retrofit program, the building owner will be involved in the process and probably the key decision maker. But in a case where you're talking about a direct install program, the decision to participate is probably more likely with the property manager. Fourth, the life cycle of buildings is an important consideration. Multifamily buildings tend to be recapitalized every 15 to 20 years, and at that time, a property owner may be considering significant property and equipment upgrades. And so the owner may be more open to incorporating more comprehensive energy efficiency upgrades at that time. Fifth, there is different meter configurations in multifamily housing. You have multifamily building common areas, which may be commercial accounts, while tenant units residential accounts, and that's a challenge since many utility energy efficiency programs are targeted to the customer class. So it makes it difficult to address the full building when the owner has to apply to, you know, to multiple commercial and residential programs. Sixth, successful strategies certainly require access to contractors with multifamily experience, and that might the different firms and that are involved in single family programs. And finally, there's also the challenge of securing whole building energy consumption data across multiple utility accounts in a multifamily building. So again, in the interest of time, I'll just briefly touch on some of the features we've seen in well-designed multifamily energy efficiency programs. I know that the case studies that we'll hear about in a few minutes will certainly touch on some of these in much more detail. One important consideration is tailoring programs to multifamily housing. It is more effective to have multifamily-specific programs that provide measures to address, you know, all of the efficiency opportunities rather than have building owners have to apply, as I just said, to various individual residential and commercial programs. It's also important to target measures to achieve whole building savings, which can sometimes require providing an energy audit to really identify what is the most effective from a whole building perspective. When it comes to programs that have income targeting, it's important to acknowledge that, you know, in contrast to single family housing, verifying the income eligibility on a unit by unit basis is pretty challenging in a multifamily building. So making that process easier by aligning income requirements with existing affordable housing programs offered by the State Housing Finance Agency or HUD is an important consideration. Another important consideration is how the program will create and grow demand for energy efficiency among building owners. Aligning the program with major building life cycle events when capital investments are to be made can help to engage owners. Also, helping building owners to benchmark energy usage so they understand energy savings opportunities. And then financing may be necessary to achieve deeper retrofit projects because affordable multifamily building owners typically don't have access to cash on hand to cover upfront costs required to make more comprehensive investments. So providing options for financing along with incentives might be necessary. Finally, marketing and coordination are important considerations. Coordinating with other market actors, including contractors, other program administrators, and providing a streamlined one-stop experience for the owner has proven successful, as Angelina and Peter will certainly demonstrate with the Elevate model. Also, closely working with State Housing Finance Agency, which provides financing for affordable multifamily housing and is a known and trusted partner to multifamily owners, can help program administrators reach the market. And for example, in several states where EFA is working, we are seeing State Housing Finance Agencies essentially require owners to demonstrate that they've investigated available utility incentives as a requirement for funding from the agency. And this is certainly something that's going to drive multifamily owners to energy efficiency programs. So I just wanted to conclude by referencing some resources that Energy Efficiency for All has available. We have a lot of resources available on our website, but I wanted to just quickly highlight these three resources in particular. Potential for Energy Savings identifies the maximum achievable potential savings and benefits that can be captured in the multifamily affordable housing sector in 8 states. Our Program Design Guide, which identifies 12 best practices for policymakers, regulators, and program administrators when it comes to multifamily affordable housing energy efficiency. And finally, we recently released a policy brief that highlights opportunities to encourage energy efficiency and affordable housing in state clean power plans. And with that, I will just conclude, and I'm happy to answer any questions or directly talk to anyone who wants to reach out to me to discuss any of my presentation. Thanks.
Thanks, Todd. That was a great overview and providing context and also including some very enlightening statistics that I think are setting the stage in a great way for the other speakers today. So Crystal, tell us a little bit about what HUD is doing in this area.
Great, and thanks so much for inviting me to this presentation, and Todd, thanks so much for sharing your introduction with me. I'm really happy to have the chance to speak to you all today and talk a little bit about HUD's role in energy efficiency for multifamily buildings. So my name is Crystal Bergman. I work in the Office of Economic Resilience at HUD. And what we do is we help coordinate HUD's energy efficiency and green building programs across the agency. We also staff a newly created Climate Council, which works on all things energy resilience and climate related for HUD's portfolio. So to give you a little bit of an idea of what that means, when people think of HUD, a lot of times they think of public housing. We certainly do have a lot of assisted housing through public housing. That's about 1 million units. But we also, as Todd alluded to, assist private landlords through our multifamily rental assistance program. There's about 1.5 million units there. And then our housing choice vouchers assist about 2 million units, 2 million families. So in total, that's 4.5 million families that receive rental assistance through our through these three core programs at HUD. And then to further give you an idea of our involvement, the utility costs for those three core programs are about $7 billion a year, ranging from $1,200 to $2,000 a year per unit on average. And of that $7 billion, HUD pays for $6.5 billion of that, either directly or indirectly. So we have a strong incentive to lower utility costs across HUD programs, and especially in these assisted multifamily units. So HUD has a long history of energy efficiency and focus on these types of programs. The Energy Performance Contracting Program has been around in public housing since the 90s. But just in recent years, since 2010, this has been an agency priority goal through our HUDSTAT process. The agency priority goal number 4 is to build strong, resilient, inclusive communities, and the sub-goal of that is specifically around embedding energy efficiency and healthy housing programs across HUD. And through that program, we have greened over 500,000 units since 2010 and are going strong on that. And then in 2013, the White House Climate Action Plan was released, and that implicates HUD in a variety of ways through our Better Buildings Challenge, which I'll talk about in a moment, renewable energy efforts, and our benchmarking efforts are included in that action plan. And so we are taking that plan seriously and working on those efforts. And then relatedly, the Secretary formed HUD's Climate Council on Resilience and Energy just a couple of months ago. And the purpose of that Climate Council is to focus on both resilience and climate adaptation, but also mitigation through energy efficiency and green building, and to maintain a high agency focus on that with a secretary overview. So between these three high-level foundations for energy efficiency, it should be clear that this is definitely a priority of this administration and this agency. So I'm going to talk just a little bit about one program that we're working on, since I just have a couple of minutes and I want to make sure we get to the other speakers. So I'll talk about one program that we're working on and one that we're working towards. So the first is the Better Buildings Challenge. So many of you may be familiar with the Better Buildings Challenge generally. In the President's Climate Action Plan that I mentioned throughout 2014, this initiative was expanded to multifamily buildings from its existing state. So multifamily, that includes market rate multifamily, but also HUD-assisted multifamily, and essentially any multifamily building in the country. And it's a voluntary initiative. Currently, we have about 90 partners who have joined, and when partners join, they commit their entire portfolio to a 20% reduction in energy consumption over 10 years. So we have about 400,000 units that are part of that initiative. Participants in that initiative receive a variety of benefits, but those who have HUD assistance can receive things like technical assistance and a variety of policy flexibilities and waivers from HUD. We look at this cohort as leaders in the industry. The National Housing Trust is one of our Better Buildings Challenge partners, and you heard from them earlier. So we look to this group when we're looking to highlight those who are doing exciting, interesting things in energy efficiency. We also look to this group as a way to sometimes test out incentives or policy flexibilities to see if it may make sense to roll them out to the larger portfolio of HUD-assisted properties. Joining this group also gives folks access to a cohort of other leaders and an ability to share best practices across other multifamily building leaders and experts. And so I'll just touch on one additional piece is that, as I said, we spend about $6.5 billion on our utility allowances, which is about 13 to 14% of our budget. That said, we don't actually have a very clear idea of how that money is spent and where exactly it is spent. So we are working with EPA and their portfolio manager team, Department of Energy, and other public agencies to work on a comprehensive plan for benchmarking our multifamily assisted and public housing properties over the next several years. So we know that there are a lot of obstacles for building owners out there and getting building data and working with utility companies and entering that data, but we are committed as an agency to benchmarking our properties over the next several years. So certainly look forward to working with many of you and to talking more about that effort as we move forward. So again, I don't want to take more time from the presenters who are coming up, so I just want to leave folks with a set of websites and resources. The first website, hud.gov/resilience, is the Office of Economic Resilience website. We have a variety of resources on there. You can find out more about HUD's programs generally on energy efficiency, resilience, green building. The next one is the Better Buildings Challenge portal. You can also just Google Better Buildings Challenge Multifamily. You'll find plenty of information from the Department of Energy and HUD on here. This includes some information on what incentives and flexibilities I mentioned, what those are. The next piece is our renewable energy portal, and that includes a variety of resources and information on technical assistance for those looking to incorporate renewable energy into their HUD-assisted properties. And you can see the rest there. So I will leave you with that, and please feel free to contact us at any of these email addresses, my personal email or my work email addresses at the beginning of the slide, which you will all receive at the end of this presentation. And I look forward to answering any questions at the end of the webinar. Thank you.
Thank you, Crystal. That was a great overview presentation of what HUD is doing. It's clear that you have a large role to play in overcoming some of these obstacles and promoting best practices in this area that that we're going to talk about for today. Just a quick reminder, please enter any questions you have for any of the speakers at any time during the webcast today, but please indicate which speaker your question is directed to. That will help us a lot. We'll get to those at the very end. Before we go on to the next group of speakers, we wanted to do a little audience participation here and take a poll question. So please enter your choice to this question, which is, which of the following funding sources are the most challenging to leverage for multifamily housing energy efficiency? Is it low-income housing tax credits, HUD funding, DOE weatherization funding, utility funds, or state housing agency funds? You can select more than one, so please make your choices now, and then we'll look at the results.
I'm going to give everyone just a few more seconds to send in your responses.
Okay, thanks for your participation. Looks like the majority of you find it challenging to leverage utility funds at 41%. The next highest is low-income housing tax credits at 32%, and then HUD funding is third. After that, state housing agency funds and weatherization funds. We hope that some of the speakers today can help you answer, or can help you understand some ways that you can better leverage the funding from some of these sources.